Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Awaiting the shotgun snap, Justin Herbert creeping up toward the line, leaning in. Now backs up, leaning back on his left foot, gets the shotgun snap. Looks to the left, pumps and throws left side. Too tall, it's intercepted. Picked off down the sideline. Eric Murray, he's going to take it unmolested for a Houston pick six.
Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. If you are picking one person who had the worst of the worst weekends, Pearl, it had to have been Justin Herbert. Saturday, first game to get wild card weekend kicked off. They go down, they score first, they have a 6-0 lead, and then Justin Herbert starts throwing pick after pick after pick, four in total. Not all of them were his fault, but two out of the four were definitely his fault. He finishes the game with a quarterback rating of 41. That is not what you expect from someone who's supposed to have this great talent. We know that Justin Herbert has a lot of talent. He's now laid an egg in two of the two playoff games that he's appeared in.
My only counter to that was a full team loss. Like, putting that on Justin Herbert, to me, doesn't tell the whole story because, first of all, the line had no prayer. I mean, the Texans' pass rush is ferocious. Mm-hmm. I mean, Willie Anderson, Danico Autry, Danielle Hunter, like, they were living on the top of Justin Herbert. But it could have been six interceptions. He had a bunch of balls tipped because he had no breathing room. He had no pocket whatsoever. That's one thing I would say. Second thing is his targets are god-awful. By the end of the game, he was like, I'm just throwing to McConkey every time. I can't trust any of these idiots.
Well, McConkey ended up having a great game, but that was it. That was the whole offense. And here's the thing about that. That's what I've always heard about Justin Herbert, right? Is that the line has been bad and everyone's been in his lap and he never has any time to throw. Well, here's the thing. Move around a little bit. Figure it out. Is it too much to ask somebody who is top five highest paid quarterback in this league to try to figure out when the pass rush is coming at you? Now, listen, maybe nobody would be able to figure this out. Maybe this is Tom Brady playing against the Giants in the Super Bowl and they're just all over him. But I don't think so, because I do think that Justin Herbert is mobile, and yet he felt like a sitting duck back there. And I just think that when you have a guy who's this highly touted, who does get a lot of praise, especially this year, teaming up with Jim Harbaugh, it's a perfect coach-quarterback combination. When you have him, your favorite, going on the road, the Texans have just not been themselves. They do not look at all like the team we saw last year in the postseason. They've not looked like that this year. And you have a guy you're coming in with an amazing QB. And for the second time, it was the first time he made it to the playoffs when they got out to the 27-0 lead, and then they end up losing to the Jags in one of the big comebacks for the Jacksonville. And now with this one, and two of those four interceptions were really, really bad. Really bad.
Yeah, but don't you think he was pushing, like, he got desperate. He's like, I have to try and make a play because we're losing this game. So do you give him a little pass? Obviously, his whole philosophy changed later in the game. he started to really try and make a play because they couldn't run the ball. So he's like, God, I got to try something. I think he pressed and it's like, I got to make a play. Otherwise, we're going to lose this game.
No, the first interception he threw, they were ahead, weren't they? They were up 6-0, but that in the second quarter.
But was that one of the inexcusable ones?
I thought that was a bad one. I thought the first one.
Was that the Lassiter one?
That was, yes, that was Lassiter. And it was to Quentin Johnston.
Again.
A bad idea.
That's a weird that it was to Quentin Johnston. Well, that, yeah, like, I wonder if he fought for that ball.
He could play a little defense there. I'm not going to, but it was a bad idea and it was a bad throw.
I thought that was a sick interception, by the way.
You're right. The McConkey interception, it was high. McConkey probably should have come down with it, but there was not a defender really in the area. So that's just Justin Herbert missing a throw. I know the pocket was collapsing on him, but it's the playoffs. It's never going to be perfect. The third one, not his fault. Will Disley goes right through the hands, alligator arms, whatever. And then the fourth one's in garbage time, totally underthrew his man. I don't know. You can't be this high paid and this highly touted and then go out and play like that in the playoffs and expect not to get criticized. You have to wear it.
I think it's a misread of where the Chargers are, though. Like, that implies if Justin Herbert just played better, the Chargers would be a thing. Now, listen, they shouldn't have been in the playoffs. They rightfully pointed out at the end of the game, like, they didn't beat anybody this year. They had one win over a winning team. It was the Broncos, who also did belong. So the Chargers were ahead of schedule because they had the easiest. They came in with the sixth easiest schedule, but it ended up being the easiest schedule. So basically, they kind of got lucky to even be there. They can't. This is a Jim Harbaugh team. Like, as bad as Herbert was, the run game has been worse ever since J.K. Dobbins got hurt earlier in the year. I know he came back. They can't run the ball at all. So how is Jim Harbaugh going to win games when he can't run the ball? He has no chance. So what happens moving forward? I don't care about it. This team, even if they'd won that game, isn't going anywhere. So the question is, like, is he going to be able to establish this identity? See, I don't look at Justin Herbert is a problem. You draft Joe Alt in the first round, a number 5 overall, you better be able to run the ball because there are no receivers, and they can't. They just cannot move the bat. Herbert has no help. You said he should scramble. Where is he to scramble? Watch those plays. Willie Anderson's coming one way. The middle's coming up, and like, there's nowhere to go. He just gets demolished every time he drops back.
Okay, well, then you should probably be blaming the coaching because you've got first-round picks on the offensive line, and if they can't protect him, then what's that worth? And then secondly, the other reason why I'll put this on Herbert is because the defense actually played well, and maybe that's because the Texans' offense is
awful.
Not what it was last year, but at the same time, you spoiled what was a really good defensive effort. Now you got Khalil Mack mulling retirement, and you're going to have changes there. I thought the Chargers defense came out like they were ready to go. It was the offense that let them down, and Justin Herbert is the highest paid player on that team by a lot.
There's a play early in the game that really summed up where the Chargers are to me.
What's that?
Basically, it was a pass play, and of course the line didn't hold up, but somehow Herbert moved up in the pocket and threw a dime, 25 yards downfield, hit Will Disley right between the numbers, went right through him.
Yeah,
maybe it was a 25, and then it's like, oh, crap. Herbert immediately, like, you could see he was pressing yesterday because he thought, like, I have to be the savior here, and he can't do it. Even the play, like every interception, we talked about the first interception, he's like, I got to make a play. I'm going to run around, I'm going to throw 45 yards downfield. I just think that they're going to look back at this and say, you started really, really pressing. And yeah, of course, it was a horrible game and a horrible day. But to me, like, this is a team loss, not a Justin Herbert loss. Like, if Herbert had played great, they still would have lost this game because, like, there was nobody, there's no targets, there's no run game. Eventually, like, you can take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's not true. If he had played great,
Why was he going to? No, there's no way. Like, there's no quarterback who's going to win that game. The Texans' defense is fantastic, and the Chargers had no answer. No quarterback is going to be able to pick himself off the mat and won that game. I don't think the Chargers are in a position. They're definitely not like a quarterback away. They have many, many other issues.
855-212-4227. How much blame are you putting on Justin Herbert versus just the team, I guess? You know, Perloff asked a good question last hour too, EJ, if we can put this up on the poll. When it comes to the Steelers, is this more about they need a quarterback or do they need a new coach? Like, what's the bigger priority there? But for this Chargers game, how much blame you put on Herbert? I think he had the worst weekend of anybody. Because here's the thing. You could say, like, Bo Nix was not as effective. Bo Nix, nobody expected Bo Nix to do anything.
Right.
You know, you're talking about who else had bad weekends? Did you really think that Russell Wilson was going to lead the Steelers back when they're down 21-0. And what evidence did you have of that all season long?
He actually started to throw some dimes out there.
Yeah, because the Ravens were like, we got this.
But also, dude, like, the Steelers offense actually let Russell throw. Like, by the way, Bo Nix had, like, five passes a whole game. Like, their defense is so passive that they never got the ball back. And Russell Wilson, same thing. He never touched the ball.
But this is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, of all the people who had terrible weekends, the combination of Justin Herbert, high expectation, high salary, you know, Jim Harbaugh's impact the first year he's with the team, you're favored, you've got an opponent who's committing penalties left and right. The Texans got called for 8 penalties in this game. They didn't play a clean game. There was a path here for you to win. I disagree with you on that, and I think Herbert has to feel like the worst. Like, he's the worst of the weekend.
What would you have done if you were the offensive coordinator? What would your strategy have been? Like,
listen, I understand you want to give a lot of credit to the defensive backs for the Texans. They are very good.
Their defense forget them. What about the defensive line? That was a murder scene. They should put yellow tape around the chart. I'll bet you if we look at PFF, the win rate was like 80% on the Texans' pass rush.
How about some extra protection? I don't remember how many times did I see an extra lineman in there. Did I see it? Did I see tight ends on the line?
You already have no targets. You're going to keep some back? I mean, there was a great tweet, and actually, I think it was Breer. I can't remember. Burt Breer, the NFL writer for MMQB. The Chargers didn't mess up by taking Joe Ald over Malik Nabers, which was a controversial draft pick. They messed up where they took Quentin Johnson over Zay Flowers.
Well, like, that was Tom Telesco, wasn't it?
Yeah, they screwed up. The Chargers have not built a receiving core. They don't have great tight ends. And this year, unfortunately, they tried to cobble together a running back room with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Like, this Harbaugh has not built the team yet. I think the worst, and you can't put on one, the Steelers' run defense, to me, was the worst of the weekend. Because this is football. This is about being a man and manning up. And they just wilted under the pressure. They were terrified of tackling Derrick Henry, which I understand, but, like, just put your helmet into somebody just once. Just make people know you're alive out there. They didn't need they gave up so early in that game. They just gave up. I could not believe it.
Yeah, you give up 300 yards on the ground. It's not a good day.
To a team who is not even trying to, like, they didn't have to lead back on the pass. There were no receivers on the Ravens. They have Rashad Bateman. There's no safety in the background. Maybe Bateman beat you once.
Well, Isaiah Likely had a really nice catch early on that kept the drive going. He's a tight end, I understand.
He's a second-string tight end. Basically, you have nothing to worry about except the run, and you just screwed it up. You really did not try hard.
855-212-4227. John's in Western New York has a thought on the Steelers. We talked about a lot in the first hour. Mike Tomlin, the quarterback situation. Perloff just mentioned the run defense non-existent. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. I just want to make a comment about with the Steelers. I read this morning, I get on the internet and look at all the local papers down there. And I'm seeing a lot of finger pointing, and I'm afraid the problem with the Steelers. I don't know. I'm sure you don't remember, but I told you in preseason I thought they were going to end up 5-12, and they overachieved early. But the problem that I see is that when they went through that 3 games in 11 days and the competition they played against. I think all the wind was taken out of their sails because in playing the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Eagles, it really showed that they were not amongst the elite of the NFL. And I think that that had a lot to do with their psyche.
Yeah.
The other problem that I keep harping on to some of my relatives down in Pennsylvania is that they put a lot of capital into their offensive line. Over the past 4 years, there's been 2 number ones at tackle, a number 2 at center, 2 number fours. This last draft, their first 4 picks, they picked 3 offensive linemen. Plus, there was a number of offensive free agents that they pulled in.
Yeah, Isaac Seumalo from the Perloff's Eagles was a big...
Right, and they lost Daniels from that they got from the Bears, too. He got injured earlier in the year. But the point I'm going to make is that the whole idea of this Arthur Smith offense was that they were going to be able to pound the ball down people's throats, and that's they never really accomplished that.
Mm.
Against mediocre competition, yes, but against the elite teams, no. And so here's the problem, and I don't think Tomlin gets this, and that is that, you know, how – you know, the defense expends more energy than the offense does just because that they have to be moving all the time to attack the quarterback, whereas offensive linemen sometimes, unless they're running, can on a running attack, they're basically set in their position and they're looking to defend. So what I'm getting at is by week 17, you can't expect your defense to be out on the field for 35, 40 minutes a game and think they're going to play the same way that they did in week two.
Yeah, so, listen, John, and I think that it's funny because the other part of this, and it's the complimentary part, and John, great points there, and sorry about your Steelers, is when you can't keep drives alive.
Keep drives alive. You can't even get a first down.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like,
you're just
exactly.
Asked, and he said time possession, so he's basically saying the same. I'm saying the same thing he's saying.
But I do disagree a little bit.
No favors.
Think about the Eagles game, and I watch it closely because I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
The Steelers had two drives in the second half. Their defense, they became somehow a bend don't break. Like they were completely. The Eagles just ran the ball and short passed it all night long. That was the blueprint. The Eagles won 27-13, and Pittsburgh literally only touched the ball twice in the entire second half. This, and you saw the Ravens did the same exact thing. The Ravens had 9-minute drive, which was, to me, it was like, Tomlin, you got to do something. Someone's got to punch a football. Someone's got to be aggressive. Someone's got to take a risk. But they seemed content to just sit back and not get blown out. Which is weird. They were so non-aggressive defensively.
Time of possession. Ravens had the ball for 40 minutes, 39 minutes and 33 seconds, whereas Steelers had the ball for 20 minutes.
Right. The Ravens only threw 21 passes in the entire game. I mean, they just ran. And the Steelers, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I could see this unfolding in front of me. You have to get aggressive. Like, I guess it's kind of hard to stop Lamar and Derrick Henry. Easier said than done. You'll have that assignment this week with your Bills.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. 855-212-4227 is kind of setting up as the game of the weekend. You know, it's funny. I don't think anyone's really giving the Texans any shots against the Chiefs. Maybe this is setting up nicely here for both number one overall seeds. Lions are going to get to play the Commanders, kind of surprise season. And now you have the Lions play the Commanders, and now you have the Chiefs are going to get to play the Texans.
I don't know.
Wait, you say that like, I mean, the Chiefs have won two straight Super Bowls. Like, I mean, they're
saying, and things are
breaking well. Like, I don't think
well. Listen, last year they were coming off a Super Bowl win. They had to go to Buffalo. They had to go to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Now they sit home. They get Texans coming in.
I don't think it matters. I mean, they should beat anybody. It feels like they'll get the winner of the Ravens, Bills. I feel like whatever the Steelers did, like Steve Spagnuolo is not going to let any of that happen. He's going to watch the film of these two games, and he's going to figure out that RPO. I feel like if I could do my mulligan, unfortunately, I think your Bills and Ravens are going to murder each other this weekend. And whoever limps out of that, again, you're right, does break. It has to go to Arrowhead, and Spagnuolo is just going to have an answer for both running quarterbacks. And I'm very curious to see how this plays out.
855-212-4227. All right, so we're asking you a couple questions here about the Steelers. What's the most pressing, urgent need here? Is it quarterback or is it change at coach? Option C, both.
Do we have a poll up on this, right, EJ?
Poll is up.
Ooh, that's a tough one to vote on.
That's a tough one.
Early results suggest that it is not a tough one.
Coach, right?
Oh, no.
A quarterback. Well, they don't even have a quarterback, but that's ridiculous. It's a silly answer because if Mike Tomlin is your coach, what quarterback is going to do anything? Maggie tried all weekend to find a solution for this, and she couldn't think of anything.
I came up with Justin Fields.
Who's already on the team.
Well, I know. That's it. That's all I had.
But why? What's the point?
Maybe there's still more in the tank there, more to develop. There's more. We watched him at Ohio State. Maybe there's more.
How does it play out if the Steelers bring back Justin Fields as their starter next year? Everybody on earth knows what their record will be and what the playoff result will be.
855-212-4227. Anyone got any better ideas for the Steelers? We're all ears. All right, coming up, lots more, including there's a move it seems like everybody likes. I'm not so sure it's going to work out that great. That's just me. We'll hit that next. Perloff, guess who's a winner?
Who?
This gal.
Nice.
Right here, Prize Picks over the weekend. Finally won a bet. Oh, long streak. It was a down streak, but it was worth it to stick with it because Prize Picks made me a winner, and they can do the same for you. Prize Picks is the best place to win cash while watching the playoffs. 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings, and we love the app because it's so easy to use. You download it, you pick more or less on two players across any sport, more or less on the projection. You could win up to 1,000 times your money. Can I offer you something for the Knicks fans in the house? So you got a little Matthew Stafford, Perloff. I'm seeing 200 and... What am I seeing here? 246, I believe.
Ooh,
240 and a half.
Big number.
Okay, so I'm going to go less than, and then you can put that with Josh Hart. I'm going to go less than 9.5 rebounds. There you go.
Awesome.
I'm fading Josh Hart and Matthew Stafford.
You can only do stuff like that on Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. You can play in 40-plus states, including now, Maggie, California, and Texas. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Okay, I'm jealous because Maggie had a killer trivia question earlier in the show. You want to share what the trivia question was again and the results?
Yeah, sure. The trivia question was as follows. Jaden Daniels became the fourth rookie quarterback to win their first career playoff game on the road. Who were the other three? Jaden Daniels, fourth rookie quarterback to win their first career playoff game on the road. Who were the other three? The answers were... Russell Wilson, Mark Sanchez, and the immortal Joe Flacco.
Okay. Can I build on that? Just because you guys will have fun with this. There have been, according to my research, there have been 11 quarterbacks in the last 25 years to win as a rookie. So there were seven more at home.
Okay.
I'm just curious if you guys can guess any of them. So you have the four on the road.
Well, I know one. Brock and C.J. Stroud the last 2 years.
Yep.
Right, so okay.
CJ last year, Brock 2 years ago.
So that's two. So we're down to six.
Deshaun Watson?
Five more. I don't think he's on this list. No, there is a Texans quarterback, and it is not Deshaun Watson. And
TJ
he beat
Yates.
Andy Dalton. TJ Yates.
Oh, TJ.
Ben. Okay, so that's so we have eight, three more. One is obvious because I said in the last segment I was wrong.
I don't know. I'm not paying attention.
he won at home, I guess. And then, okay. Well, Big Ben won.
I was going to say Roethlisberger.
Big Ben.
I should have said that.
So there's two more that are really
exciting. Dan Reno won.
Because one has been a guest on our show.
Last 25 years.
Yeah. Oh, 25 years, my bad.
One has been a guest on our show many times, and I just absolutely adore this guy. And you will not guess it unless you really think hard. And it's a long time ago.
He's been on our show many times?
Yes. And he won as a rookie. He's a quarterback.
Andy Dalton?
Nope. Andy famously never won a playoff game. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, now I'm just thinking about who's been on the show.
Ross Tucker hasn't played quarterback.
AFC or NFC?
He's an NFC quarterback. I believe he went to Tulane. He's Tulane. Super nice guy.
Not J.P. Lossman. He's the only Tulane quarterback I can think of.
I think he went to Tulane.
Bill's a legend.
I got to remember.
Good old days.
That term loosely.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Sean.
Sean King.
Sean King.
Yes.
Definitely went to Tulane.
Yeah, definitely went to Tulane.
And then,
he is a prince of a dude, too. Very fun to talk to.
That's
we haven't
funny.
Talked to him in a while because he lives in Vegas, so he can't come on the morning show now.
The last one is impossible. There's no way you guys guess. No way in a million years if you guess that. One of the most random, like really good quarterback, just random.
They won their first rookie playoff game at home.
Yes. I even give you the team. Well,
is that RG3?
No.
They lost. Remember, he tore up his knee.
Yeah.
That was the first
unfortunately,
playoff game.
He was at home.
Andrew Luck with the big comeback.
Turf.
That wasn't a rookie season.
It is New Orleans Saints.
Oh, is it? It's not Jeff Brooks, right?
Hey, you're close. You have the name, last name right.
Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks. Sorry. Yeah, Jeff was right. But I love that Sean King won that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's the only reason I said that. But four have done it on the road, so it can be done. It's not that hard to win as a rookie.
Well, I don't know if it's
happened three years in a row.
I don't think that was easy last night for Jaden Daniels. I mean, they were down in the red zone and they were going for it on fourth and goal, you know,
I see
time after time. And they eventually got it after Baker Mayfield had a terrible fumble.
I see this game a little bit differently, I think, than you guys. I felt like the Commanders should have taken control of this game early. I thought the Bucs looked awful.
Well,
they kept
failing in the red zone, but that's where your defense constricts so much that the Bucs are getting really effective now.
I was watching that game. I'm like, oh, I thought the Commanders were going to blow that one open early because the Bucs just didn't seem to be able to move the ball, which was weird because they're such a good offense.
Well, they had Mike Evans, who one of the great catches I think I've ever seen, which was just to convert a first down, so it wasn't even in the end zone. But somehow he went full Neo in the Matrix, levitating over the ground and reaching his arm back. I thought they were going to win after he did that.
It's funny.
And they fumbled two snaps later.
They were up, but I still felt like the Commanders had sort of control of the game in a weird way. Like the Bucs just looked a little sloppy all night long, and there was two botched fumble snaps that cost them. They were botched snaps. One was a handoff to McMillan that was the fumble in the red zone. The other was third and inches, and they botched the snap and screwed that up. So the Bucs are probably pretty mad at themselves. But honestly, they did not play great football last night. They kind of came up small at home.
Definitely, and it's the home upset. That's
another coach that we got to get into, Todd Bowles. Where are you going with that guy?
Was he trying to get fired last night? Why doesn't he call timeout quickly enough? Like, he's letting precious seconds come off
Todd
the clock.
Bowles.
He's Todd Bowles.
But, like, there's not someone else. Like, here's the thing. You're the head coach. I get it. You're the one calling timeouts. Aren't there 20 people also on the coaching staff who are like, Todd, timeout. Timeout here. Meanwhile, tick, tick, tick. I thought teams have like a timeout guy, like a game management specialist.
Like Dick Curl with the Jets, that guy. That's a guy, right?
Yeah, somebody.
I think Andy Reid hired one at one point, too.
Yes, he did.
If you have trouble figuring out when to call timeouts, you got to hire somebody who can just be your timeout guy.
I think there's a chance that these coaches are not actually listening to these guys. Like, I think like the guys probably tell them, hey, call timeout. And he's like, well, should I hear? Let me think.
Todd Bowles has been a head coach now for a combined decade.
Oh, trust me, I know.
You know, it's interesting, too, because
he still has timeouts left over from his Jets days.
I know, exactly.
10-win season to make the playoffs. Yeah.
So they're going to lose Liam Cohen, right, to the Jags.
Good luck to whoever hires him.
Why? What's wrong with Liam Cohen?
No, his offense was messy last night.
Well, yeah, but they couldn't get the Commanders off the field. Their offense was Liam Cohen seems like a promising coach to me. He had a good year.
So I mean, are you thinking do you fire Todd Bowles to keep Liam Cohen?
No, I probably would not. But that being said, like I think Todd Bowles has a limit. I don't think
ceiling which is why I think I'd fire him to keep Liam Cohen.
I would probably fire Todd Bowles, but he's a good coach for sure. But I don't know, like, what's your goal? To just make the playoffs or to win the Super Bowl? Because I don't think Todd Bowles is going to win the Super Bowl. I think he's really solid. I think the players, like, respond to him.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think there's a chance to, like, Cohen, he inherited a lot, I think, from Dave Canales, who I think kind of laid the foundation for that offense.
Yeah.
So anybody hiring him, I would caution him a little bit, saying, hey, Canales went there when they were an absolute train wreck offensively. Tom Brady was getting destroyed behind that terrible offensive line that got injured, and he kind of rebuilt Baker Mayfield in a year. Like, I don't know how much is Cohen feeding off of whatever was established from Canales.
Yeah, Cohen had a good year. He turned Kentucky, who can't move the ball at all, to a good offensive team.
The fact that he got Will Levis drafted in any round that was probably the resume.
That was the miracle that Liam Cohen created.
We saw Kentucky the following year. This year. Oh, my God.
Beat Ole Miss.
I got to be honest, Maggie, you don't love just calling the guy who's like a strict, like Liam Cohen seems like a play caller through and through, not a head coach, the way he presents himself. I met him at the Kansas City draft. Nicest dude you will ever meet.
I'm sure. But he's got coordinator gets the head job fired in 2 years written all over.
Yeah, but he's also got McVay assistant Kevin O'Connell vibes, too. I would have said that about Kevin O'Connell. I was like, oh, God, he's like an offensive coach.
Yeah, and by the way, Kevin O'Connell went into the season without a contract. So it's not like he put together a great season to save his job. He was a guy who was basically on the hot seat.
Yeah, but I mean, he's won at a very, very high percentage. So, I mean, if you could get Kevin O'Connell with Liam Cohen, I would take that. for sure.
Kevin O'Connell got beat in a playoff game by Daniel Jones.
Okay. You don't like Kevin O'Connell?
No, I do. I'm
top
just saying,
10 coach in the league, for
no,
sure.
He's going to win coach of the year now, yeah. But let's not rewrite this whole thing. He came into this season, their win total was 6.5, and he was not nearly, didn't nearly have the leverage that he is now. He had to put together a great season.
Well, I'm just saying, if you could get, if any team out there is interviewing, they think Liam Cohen's the next Kevin O'Connell, they're going to hire him in 2 seconds. He's going to go to Jacksonville and be 4-13. I don't know, like maybe not with Trevor Lawrence, but I think Cohen's an interesting prospect. But here's the thing, guys like Bowles, like we've seen what he can do. So if you're a franchise, do you say, okay, this is good enough, or should we take a shot for something better? I think it's a hard decision for an owner.
You're right. Bogish has more headlines on a very busy morning. Hey, Bogues.
Guys, it certainly seemed like Bo Nix and the Broncos were up to the task yesterday afternoon in Buffalo.
Out of the gun, Nix fades back, seven-step drop, steps into a long, high-arcing throw, deep shot to Franklin, end zone, touchdown! The rookie, Troy Franklin, over the top of multiple Bills defenders. It's 43 yards for the rook, Bo Nix, and 6-0 Denver.
You could hear the anxiety treadmills starting throughout Bills Mafia, John Sadak on Westwood One.
This is when I reached for the Kendall Jackson. I was like, this is going to be, is it going to be this kind of day? I don't usually drink on school nights.
Yeah. Take us inside the, like, what was your strategy then? You're like, okay. I got to jump on the treadmill. I got to start boozing. Like, what What was going on?
Both thoughts simultaneously. The booze on the treadmill seems like a dangerous combination. You know what I started doing at that instance?
Angel dust? I don't know. The hard stuff?
The hard stuff. Whatever drugs were in the house, I was doing them. No, I started folding laundry. I had to do something to, like, keep busy. And so I was like folding, I was standing folding laundry like on our bed, the laundry's on our bed, and I was like, I couldn't sit. I did not sit until they had a 3-score lead.
So yeah, that's my second question. When did you feel comfortable?
Like midway through the fourth quarter.
This morning.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know when I actually felt comfortable is when they confirmed the Ty Johnson touchdown.
Not a touchdown.
Yeah, thanks, folks, for nothing. 15 referees and multiple camera shots say it was. It was an all-time great touchdown. When they confirmed that, I was like, all right, I think that broke the Broncos.
Did you happen to notice after that first touchdown drive, the Broncos didn't have a first down for about another 37 minutes of game time?
Yeah, where'd Sean Payton's offense go? I saw you. Did you tweet that?
Oh, offensive. Yeah, Sean Payton, offensive genius, got shut out for the last 58 minutes of the game. I mean, they were terrible, but honestly,
the fake punt was good.
The fake, that was a beautiful pass.
That was a beautiful pass.
But I blame the defense. Like, the Bills, again, they were not faking. Like, or they don't trust their receivers. They're like, here's James Cook. Meet him. He's going to run at you every time. And he wouldn't even get touched until 5 yards down the field. Why was not the entire Broncos defense in the box? I didn't understand.
I think you were not crediting the Bills offensive line. I think nobody really talks about the Bills offensive line. They're actually very good.
But I actually watched
underrated.
I watched the safety was 25 yards back on all the run plays. Like, that's, I was wondering, is the defensive coordinator watching the same game I am? And then right before the set, the linebackers would move back.
Well,
the linebackers were not in the box.
Screaming at Vance Joseph at the end of the game. They definitely got into it.
Wait, who did?
Sean Payton and Vance Joseph. Yep. They were yelling at each other.
Oh, I mean, like, it was definitely a miss. I didn't understand what was happening. They kept, who's the deep threat on the Bills? Like, why is a safety over the top like that?
I can't wait until next week when Maggie's folding napkins as to
I think both the Ravens and the Bills are in for a shock when they face real teams next week. They had easy, easy warm-ups.
Yeah.
It's going to be such a great chess battle, and this week was not even chess. It was just like a parent playing with a little kid.
It's crazy how Rex Ryan said a team had a bye week this week in the AFC. He did not pick either the Bills or the Ravens as a team. He said the Chargers of all teams had the bye week.
I gotta be honest.
Very wrong. He was very
so wrong. He had so many better options, too.
I thought the Chargers were going to win for sure because I still remember that Texans-Ravens game, 34-2. Like, I was totally surprised by that game. And even in the beginning of the game, I'm like, oh, this is so easy for the Chargers. They're cutting right through them.
I'm surprised that you guys are surprised because they are the Chargers.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
that,
there is that.
Yeah, there is that. But Harbaugh.
4 interceptions, is that chargering? Probably.
Yeah, when the tight end throws one to a defensive player.
Yeah, just not showing up like that. Yeah. I mean, that's another.
Well, but I thought Jim Harbaugh killed the chargering. Like, he's the antidote for the chargering.
Yeah, I think we were too quick.
Takes more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things
in San Francisco. He did it immediately in San Francisco.
Yeah, but those are the Niners.
Yeah, exactly. They don't. There's no such thing as Ninering.
Right.
Wait. So you're telling me that there's something in the Chargers helmet, the Jets helmet, the Bears helmet. Like it's not the coaches and the personnel. It's the team.
No, it's like seance time. Like you gotta go find some like a chicken, a snake with paint on its head, Joe Boo, like anything. You gotta figure this out.
To make a Bears quarterback throw for 4,000 yards, you need voodoo.
You need Pedro Serrano to fix things. Yes, 100%.
They could do a podcast on this. There's so many podcasts about like a haunted house or something this or that. We could have a Chargers how to get the chargering out of the Chargers pod.
We all know the easy answer. Have Kyrie Irving come in and do the smoke thing on the corner.
Kyrie Irving to save the franchise. Yeah, you never hear that.
Yeah, they need to sign Kyrie Irving to get the bad stuff out of there.
So after all of that, guys, the Bills did win 31-7 yesterday. They reached the divisional round for the 5th January in a row. This victory over the Broncos setting up a Sunday night showdown with the Ravens. It took longer than it should have, but the Eagles did put away the Packers in yesterday's middle game, 22-10. This is just a 10-3 game late third quarter until
Hurts throws to his left for Goddard. Goddard takes it, spins. Goddard shoulders his way inside the 15. Stiff arms to the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown, Eagles. That was all Dallas Goddard. 24 yards. And the Eagles are on top 16-3.
That's Tom McCarthy on Westwood One. Goddard stiff-arming a defender like Perloff, and I asked to ride to San Antonio with him. The Packers host the Vikings or Rams now Sunday afternoon. That is a Peacock exclusive. And then finally, a road team broke through last night with the Commanders taking a 23-20 W in Tampa. Zane Gonzalez putting a 37-yard field goal in off the right upright as time expired. More last-minute drama authored by Jaden Daniels.
We're not going to give up to the clock hit zero. Win, lose, or draw, whether that was week one to now week 19. We're going to keep fighting to the end.
I got one more Jaden nugget for you. And it does attach to what you were saying, Maggie, about some fourth down decisions that So this is not completely a compliment to him, but this is crazy. In NFL history, regular season or postseason, there have been 3 games of a team having no turnovers and no punts with a rookie starting QB. The Commanders have all 3 this year. Last night, week 2 and week 3 of the season.
That's how much they go for it on fourth
down. But also, no punting either in like normal punting areas.
Mm. Right.
So I guess that connects to the fourth down tries in the red zone or whatever.
That's crazy.
And no turnovers last night, too.
No punting? That's not my type of game.
Manny was admiring all the punts in the Giants early games.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just love a good punt.
That's all we got.
Even then, they're not good at that.
I have an interesting news update on a Maggie and Perloff show bet. Because you were mentioning that I have to drive to San Antonio, happening this spring. There's an interesting fact about another Maggie and Perloff show bet that I've been dying to share with you guys.
Does this somehow get me out of the Waffle House thing?
It does not get you out of it, but it is possibly related to that.
Man, I'm going to blow up like a balloon. It's going to be the worst 24 hours of my life.
But they do have some big old women.
And I'm going to be one of them.
You'll finally be in proportion with your feet.
Finally. I'll have a body that matches my gigantic feet.
Big old women.
Are you going to tell us? We have to wait.
We got
to
wait.
We got to wait. Bogus, you have to stick around. I'm sorry. I know how annoying that is for you.
The Bears coaching search continues today with interim boss Thomas Brown getting a meeting. Yesterday, they interviewed Ron Rivera, and we're told Chicago would love a meeting with Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman. The Indiana Pacers put an end to the Cavs' 12-game win streak, 108-93 in Cleveland last night. The Celtics fought off the Pelicans, 120-119. Zion Williamson, 16 points and 7 rebounds in 28 minutes after his 1-game suspension for being late to a team flight. And yes, Jalen Brunson did score 44 points in the Knicks' 140-106 rout of the Bucks yesterday.
We're so back.
140 points.
Buck 40, 140 points. This team was unable to do anything on offense over the last 4 games, and they put a buck 40 on Giannis. Oh, baby.
And punts.
Man, and punts, so yes. Excited. 855-212-4227. Your football team's burning to the ground, but your basketball team is good.
Oh, thank God. At least I have something.
Okay, lots more to do. We get Perloff as an update on one of our show bets. And also, One hire has been made in the NFL. Is it going to work? Get to that too. MVP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I promised a show bet related reveal. Now, maybe I could be wrong about this, and maybe there's something else going on here, but I see as of 6:21 a.m. yesterday, there was a fantasy football punishment, the Waffle House Challenge, that was beginning to get paid off. 24 hours every waffle. This might be another copy of the original one. Yeah. 24 hours every waffle. Tyler Renew went to the Waffle House as of yesterday morning, and that was his last tweet. I don't even know if he's alive. This is in South Carolina.
Death by waffle.
So
basically you have to go, this is where we took this bet idea from. You go sit at a Waffle House for 24 hours. Every waffle you eat, 1 hour comes off the clock for you.
And all he put up was a picture of a Waffle House at 6 in the morning with all the lights on and no cars in the parking lot, and we have not heard from him since. So 24 hours, every waffle. I think we should reach out to this guy. I assume this is the old one and only Waffle House Challenge, unless it caught fire and other people are doing it.
Maybe. I mean, I'd love some tips, but if this guy's not, if he's drowning in syrup, then he's got nothing for me.
Oh, my God. These waffles are gigantic, too, Maggie. Look at that.
Yeah,
look,
but they're thin.
They're not that thin. Those are big waffles. I don't even know if I could eat one of those.
We're going to see, aren't we?
Tyler, he also put out the picture of the fantasy team that cost him, and oh man, did he make some terrible draft mistakes.
My mistake was thinking that the Cowboys may have the sense to move on from Dak Prescott. That was silly. You know, it's funny, we have another show bet that we've made beyond the waffles.
Yes. Sorry, he finished at 5:21 p.m., so he was there from 6:21 to 5:21. It was 6 hours, 11 hours.
Oh my gosh, that's so long. That's so long.
Oh my God, he looks like he's gonna throw up at every bite. Maggie, you're dead. I don't even know if we can do this anymore. I'm watching this guy try to eat these.
No, I have to do it. I mean, a bet's a bet. I lost fair and square. I ate tuna jelly. I mean, I've done worse.
You should have done what I suggested and switched to a more protein based food. I said I do omelets.
Yes.
Yes. It's that those waffles are going to expand in your stomach and make this really, really hard to do.
I know. It's a bet. It's not supposed to be easy. I lost it fair and square. Now, we have another bet that we've made since then. We will do the Waffle House bet post-Super Bowl. But the bet was about Tom Brady and the Raiders and Tom Brady's like future in broadcasting. And I think that this is Tom Brady's last year as a broadcaster. He has gotten much better. He was actually very good on the call yesterday with your Eagles beating the Packers. I think he's one and done after the Super Bowl. And I felt a lot better about me winning this bet and not having to dress up like a member of the Black Hole, because the report that came out over the weekend that Tom Brady is much more involved in the general manager and coaching interviews than originally thought. I'm sure you saw this report as well, Pearl.
Well, but I didn't understand what he originally thought. We all thought all along that he was going to choose the coach and the quarterback. Isn't that the general thought, or is that not the thought?
Well, I mean, he doesn't have, besides minority owner, it's not like he has a spot in the front office. This is not Derek Jeter with the Marlins or John Elway with the Broncos. Like, he has no role. He's not a team president or something.
The original report was he was going to help choose the quarterback. The coach is a bit of a reveal. But that being said, like, I don't know. I mean, the Raiders are still... I'm watching this coaching search go. That nothing's going to change here. Like, they're definitely going to be 5-12 next year, because they don't want Dion, so they're not getting Shador. Sorry, not to jump that report, but yeah. I just feel like they're going to hire somebody, and it's going to be the same old Raiders. Is there any chance that they break out of that funk? Is Tom Brady going to do something magical here?
Well, so here's like the sort of TikTok of the reports from the weekend. You got a report that Deion Sanders was interested in the Raiders coaching vacancy. Then you got a report that the Raiders were not interested in Deion Sanders being their head coach. Then you got the report that Tom Brady is way more involved in the interviews than we thought. And then we got the report that that's actually turning some GM candidates off, that Tom Brady's so hands-on. So I think I got every single beat of what happened with the Raiders over the weekend, unless I missed something.
Well, there was also a report in Las Vegas Journal Review that Ben Johnson's the preferred choice, but I don't think they have a quarterback, so Ben Johnson might want to go to, say, Chicago with Caleb Williams. Then
Pete or Jacksonville?
Yeah, exactly. And Pete Carroll might be the second choice. But Pete Carroll hasn't really been, ever since the Super Bowl, hasn't really done a lot. So I feel like that's like...
They hit the playoffs with Geno Smith when nobody thought they would.
They were, yes, but they. I don't even think they had double-digit wins that season. I just feel like the Raiders are going to be irrelevant for another 10 years, probably.
The Pete Carroll thing was not that surprising to me, because if Brady's calling Belichick to see if he was interested in the Raider job, I think it tips your hand. Maybe Brady thinks a more established season winner, proven winner, whatever, is a better like avenue for what this team needs. So Pete Carroll didn't surprise me that much. Now, if he actually gets the job, I'll be mildly surprised.
Well, he's 73. But... I mean, that's the knock on Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing, he brings a lot of positive energy to that building, which hasn't had it in a long time. I mean, it's actually, I guess Antonio Pierce does too. But I feel like Pierce, Carroll, like none of these guys are going to be able to overcome the organizational dysfunction. And I don't care if Tom Brady's there.
Well, if they just follow my two-step plan of, well, really one-step plan of trading for Brock Purdy, then they'll be back on track.
Well, then they'd be in a really awkward spot to have the number one overall pick and have Brock Purdy stuck on your payroll. Honestly, like, that's a team that should, Tom Brady work his magic. They should tank. They should full-on tank. And then Tom gets the Mannings, his buddies, he's close with them, get Arch into Vegas. That's better than Brock Purdy.
I feel like the Mannings and Tom Brady are more frenemies than
friends.
Close seemed like a stretch.
Yeah. All right, coming up, who impressed you the most this weekend? There's one answer.